everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our late October podcast, episode number 98, 12 feet away from $34,000. Just 12 feet away. And we'll come back to that lead later in the podcast. But we're going to welcome our digital audience and then get right into 3-2-1 craps. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. Hey, here's our digital audience for everybody to enjoy. And they're so well behaved. Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming today. You digital people are so nice and you never make a mess in our basement studio. Well, let's pick up the energy and start the show. Well, I've been watching YouTube following our 3-2-1 craps play for Low Rollers. Color Up, produced by Jeremy Ellerick. And hey, we're approaching 200,000 views in just over a year. That's all right. I know 3-2-1 is everywhere on YouTube, but it originated right here, that terminology, with Coach Fab and Casinos USA podcast. But that's okay. We're happy that people are considering it. And it's not a foolproof system. So we're going to talk about what happened to us on Monday, just a few days ago, as we try to get in at least during this shutdown, semi-shutdown period, at least two or three, four visits to a casino a month. And we were at the Meadows on Monday afternoon. We also had a comped room, which made it nice. And, you know, generally check-in time's 4 o'clock there, but they're pretty lenient at the Hyatt attached to the Meadows Casino in Washington, Pennsylvania, on Racetrack Road, because it's a Penn National property with a harness buggy racetrack. Horses are horses, though, are beautiful. But we were playing craps, and again, the way craps tables are designed in Pennsylvania today, I mean, there's 6 people at a table. Seems as if the Rivers and the Meadows and others nearby have followed this, and that creates social distancing. It also creates some headaches too, but you know, you just get used to it. You know, you just do the same thing and you just get used to it. The Meadows is still taking your temperature. When you go in, they have a really slick machine and you just hold your wrist over it, bang, it just goes off, and you go forward. If you have a high, elevated temperature, you get a different digital sound than one I tried to imitate, but they're also requiring a mask. You do not get in without a mask, and if you try to take your mask off for any period of time, there's going to be security right on you. You know, they're looking for it. It's such a big item, and it's non-political here. It's just something that's required. It's not about politics, and I haven't seen anybody argue about it. But I was at a craps table when I was in the corner that you probably couldn't stand, right next to a dealer. And then to my right, a little bit past the midpoint of the corner, going the other way, was a space. And there was a gentleman there. And then there was a gentleman right beside the stick man. And then the other side of the table, same thing. So I was the 6th player to join the game. And it looked like there were chips in the rails. You know, I was pretty excited. I also had $35 in match play coupons, which, you know, I get an email saying that, hey, you have a free room and match play coupons, and I know about it. So, you know, I make the appointment, the reservations for the room, and then I don't get the match play until I go to a kiosk machine at the Meadows, and then take that over to the Players Club, and then they print out specific match play coupons according to what I won. I had $35, so it's $10 minimum table, so I had a 15 and 2 tens. And sometimes I have great luck with coupons, and sometimes I don't. And this is one of the times I didn't have any luck. But it kind of was a little bit of foreshadowing about what was going to happen later in the game. And so I think in some ways what happened to me on the first 3 come-out rolls kind of steered me into a way of playing that ultimately made me successful. But here's what happened. You know, so I would put down the $15 coupon and $15 on it. So I had a $30 bet without risking $30, which is nice. And then I still made my $6 three-way craps play, which I do in almost every come out roll I've ever been involved with in the last couple of years. But, okay, so here's what happens. First coupon, there's a point established. I don't remember what the point was, but the next roll was a 7-out. Okay, so not only did I lose the $6 in three-way craps when the point was established, in one roll, I lost my match play of $15. So be it. I noticed, though, that the gentleman beside me, you know, a little bit distant from me, but at the same table beside me, was doing something that I wanted to warn you about. And take this warning for what it is, all right? This is the warning. He was playing pretty big odds, you know, behind the pass line. That's okay. That's up to him. You know, nothing wrong with that. But he also placed every other available number, you know, the other five numbers, for $30 each. All right. Okay, so when that first roll after the established point was a 7, come on, man. I lost $15 and I already had lost the three-way craps for 6, so I was down $21, but this guy was down his pass line bet, his odds bet, and $150 that he placed. And we did the same thing again. All right, so we do it again. So now I have a $10 coupon and put $10 on it, so I have a $20 bet for $10. Again, that's great, you know? I'm loving it. Please roll a 7 on the come out, baby, all right? Take away the suspense. But again, there's a point established, and I thought it was a good number if I remember. It was a 6. Okay, gentleman to my right does the same thing, you know? Loads up the odds, and that's fine. Behind the pass line, and puts $150 in place bets down. Next roll, boom, 7 out. Oh, my goodness, 7 out. Oh. So I have one $10 match play left, and I said, you know, what the hell, I just might as well stay with what I'm doing. Come on, I can't go that fast. Same thing. This time it was a 10. I remember that because once that was made, I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to I like that hard 10, so I'm going to make a hard ways bet for $5. And I did it, and same thing. Next roll after the 10 was established was a 7 out. So I'm kicking myself a little bit. But here's what I didn't do, and this is the warning. I don't like to make place bets immediately following the established point. You can discuss this. Think about this. When I get a 7 out early, you know, that 7 out after the first roll, then I won't make place bets or even put odds behind the pass line until the next roll. Now, you know, is that going to make a difference? Well, it did today. It did today because I didn't lose very much money, you know, comparatively in those first three early 7 outs. But the guy next to me, he lost his pass line bet, which I remember he's playing $20. It was a $10 minimum table, but he was pushing the odds up behind it. I wasn't counting them, but there was a lot of chips there. And every time he had $150 in place bets, man, come on, you know? What can you say? So you figure it out. You know, he's down $450 just on place bets. I'm not talking about the odds behind the pass line and the fast line bet. So he basically was one of those guys that went in for $1,000 and three killer 7 outs on the first roll after the established point, he lost half his stake. He's down more than half his stake. And I'm not saying he was played with scared money, but his expression on his face was ouch, you know, ouch. So again, this is just something to think about. If that really sets you off where you get an early 7 out like that on the first roll after the established point, then you might consider this. Don't put your odds behind the pass line or make place bets until the next roll, you know? I'm not saying a 7 won't come up, but at least it won't be the first roll. At least you know it's not the first roll after the established point. when everybody's generally jacked when that happens, okay? So that was my thing. And I was doing this pretty much the whole, hour and a half that I played. I was doing this. I was placing the 6 and 8 for $12 each. And if a 5 was rolled, I'd place the 9 for 10. If a 9 was rolled, I'd place the 5. And then when I did have the 5, 6, and 8 covered, either because one of them was the point and the other ones were place bets, I also went to start the thing that I've been doing lately and playing the Fremont Street Grind, a.k.a. the Iron Cross. And I was still behind. And I would say with about, because I told my wife I was going to go an hour and a half and meet her and, you know, sit down and play some video poker with her. I thought, well, this is going to be my first losing day. I have 9 consecutive winning days in craps going for me since the reopening. And I'm not exaggerating. I had 9 consecutive days. One of those was a pretty big day, over $800. But the other ones weren't all big, 140, 130, 95. But still, they're winning days. I'll take it. It's better than losing. But I was in trouble, and I wasn't doing well with my 3-way craps bet until I got near the end. And a shooter rolls. The shooter was yours truly. I was throwing 2 sixes inverted, from way back, and a shooter rolls a 12. So with 3-way craps, I get $56. So I said, give me the 50 and press the 3-way. $6. So now I have $4 on the 2, $4 on the 3, and $4 on the 12. And I keep my fingers crossed and I throw the same place again. I try to get as close as I can. And honest to goodness, I throw snake eyes. And so I now get a $112 payoff. And I press it $6, but that $112 and the $50 put me ahead. And then I also was into, the Iron Cross, that grind that we play at Fremont Street, and I had 4 hits of, I think, $15 on the field. So after I sevened out, I said, hey, let me count these chips. And I said, you know what? I'm up. And so I left the table plus 66 for 10 consecutive days at the table, 10. And I wasn't playing any exotic scheme or anything, any hybrid scheme. I was playing basically 3-2-1 craps, but turning it into more about, instead of going 22 inside, which would have been 44 inside at a $10 table, I was going more into the Fremont Street Grind, the Iron Cross. I was doing more of that. And I was also coming down throughout the day, if I had, because I would press numbers up, after a hit or two, but I was coming down pretty quickly because I was behind and I just, I didn't want to lose more. I wanted to just stay close in striking distance. So my tip for you today in crab stock is one way to get around that quick seven out is don't make any serious bets other than the pass line bet, which you have to have on if you're going to play the pass line. You can come to it later, but you're out of the 7. That's called a put bet. You can come to it later, but I'm not talking about that. If you want to play the pass line with odds, generally you're on the pass line when it starts because you got a 7-11 makes you a winner. And, of course, I'm hedging it with 3-way craps. So, you know what? I can make a living that way because almost one-third of the outcomes in craps, close to one-third, 30% approximately, are decided on the come-out roll. But I wasn't placing odds behind the pass line or making any place bets until after the first roll, after the established point. And so if it was a 7-out, I didn't lose anything but my pass line bet and my 3-way craps bet, which was just a small amount. So that's a suggestion I'll make to you to consider. If you're really getting angry because of quick 7-outs, just don't put those odd bets down until the shooter gets established, and gets a roll going, okay? So it helped me, and I have, I'm proud of that. 10 consecutive plays where I came home with a profit. But what about that $34,000 that's mentioned in the title? Well, I'm going to have to get Janie to tell that story because she was the lady that was 12 feet away from 34,000. And I don't know if she'll enjoy telling the story or not, but she promised she'll tell it. And oh my goodness, that's a wake-up call. And if you're a slots player, you'll want to hear her story. Okay, time out. We'll be right back with Janie.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane. I like to meet people, or at least I used to before the pandemic, used to like to talk to people when I would be playing slot machines. It's sometimes hard not to, you know, when, you know, someone will say, oh, that one's been hitting or that hasn't, or that's a good hit, or, you know, do you have a favorite machine? Just little chit-chat here and there, but it's so much harder now. In fact, in Western Pennsylvania, it's just about every other slot machine is closed off, either by the fact that it's turned off or there's yellow tape there or there's plexiglass shields in between players. So entire banks of machines, you know, four or five at a time are closed off. So you don't get to sit with people anymore. And so it's harder to start a conversation. But you can still people watch, as my mother used to call it. She used to like to play slots for a little bit, but I think her biggest joy was just watching people. And she'd say to me, oh, you know, I see people who look happy, people who are actually ecstatic, but then I see people who look upset, who look angry, disappointed. All the emotions are there. So this past week, and I'm sure some of you have also done this, you go into a casino, you look at the machines and just try to decide which one you want to play. Now, sometimes the one you want to play is taken, so you have to go to another one. But in my case, I just passed up a machine and thought, well, the other one looks better for no reason, really. But after sitting down for just a, you know, 15 minutes, not even 15 minutes probably, the lady sat down at the machine that I passed by, and she put in $3 or $4 and hit for $34,000. So I know anybody who plays any or spends any time on slots has run into that situation. Now I'm always happy for someone. I guess I get a little angry when I have left a machine and then I see someone sit down. But this, both the machines, the one I chose, the one she chose, had been empty. So I'm just happy when I do see people win in a casino. But she was very happy, but she was afraid to leave the machine, so she had to send another lady over to her husband, who happened to be at the craps table with my husband playing. And when she came over and said, oh, she won, she just said she won $34,000. My husband was hoping it was me. So he showed disappointment, I guess, when it wasn't me. Now, Coach Fav is a big craps guy. But I think it's true that most life-changing wins don't occur at the tables, especially the craps tables. Most of them occur at the progressive slot machines. And when I say life-changing, you know, I'm talking about those jackpots that are huge, you know, in the hundreds of thousands and the millions. Truthfully, one can hit big without betting big. And for me, this is really a major attraction. Each visit to a casino, I spend a certain amount of money in a progressive, playing a larger amount of money, because the truth is the odds of hitting that, you know, and they might be great, but or out of reach, but you could hit them, and it happens every day. The biggest amount, though, that I ever won on a slot machine was $500, and I won that using $5 of free play from the Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Flintstone, Maryland. I wasn't even going to play it. I said to my husband, oh, let's just leave. And he said, oh, you have some free play. And I said, oh, it's only $5. I don't feel like playing it. Oh, no, you have to play it. So I said, okay. I didn't want to hear him whining about it all day. So I went in and played it. And the machine only spun five or six times. And I won the $500. And on that very machine, I know of a nun from the Cumberland area that won $1 million on it. So that kind of win can happen or doesn't happen at a craps table or any table for that matter. So for those of you who love slots, and I do too, and someday I may hit it big, but it's true. I was just a few feet away from the $34,000 winner this past week. Now, my grandson, who's a blackjack dealer, had a customer, a player, who won $50,000. And I said to him, "Ha, who can win $50,000 in a blackjack game? How much do you have to bet?"
Well, that's just it. I mean, slots, it's like getting hit by a lightning, I guess, the odds, but you don't put that much money at risk. Where in craps or blackjack, to win big money, you got to put money at risk.
Right. He said, Dan, and he didn't even go into the details. He said, you'd be surprised how much is played and bet at a blackjack table. And I guess because I don't play that, and in fact, the only table game that I have played, and that's because Coach Fab insisted, he taught me how to play, and I had to be at the table and play to learn. And I did learn, and I did play, and I had some good games. But I can see how much you have to bet in that type of game where, you know, the odds are way out of reach on the slots, but nevertheless, it's there. And that's what everybody thinks. And so it's fun. I get entertainment out of that, sitting there and thinking, okay, this could possibly hit something bigger.
And let's be honest, there are many more slots players than there are craps players. There's thousands of craps players, but there's still more slots players.
Oh, absolutely. That's why the casinos have from 750 to 3,000, 4,000 slot machines in a casino. You don't see that kind of tables.
Well, I'll be coming back, and if you do win the big money in slots, I want to tell you how taxes work. I'll give you a quick rundown on how you have to fill out a W-2G if you win more than $1,200 or $1,200 and more. So I'll be right back with that. Thanks, Janie.
Okay.
I've always thought that it's nice to have a problem with taxes and gambling. You know, because that means you're a winner. But there is an ethical, legal, and moral obligation to pay taxes on gambling winnings. Doesn't necessarily have to be at a casino. You know, if you win more than so much money, you're going to have to pay taxes on it. And, you know, you're going to have to check on that to be certain. I'm talking about by law on a slot machine, if you win $1,200 or more, the casino will give you a W-2G form. Withholding would be different in every casino. It could be optional. Depends on how much money it is. It could be 20 or 25%. But that's very significant in that you're not going to get out of that casino until you complete that W-2G. And if you're thinking that, hey, I'm just not going to pay taxes, I'm not talking about when the casino gets involved with this the $1,200 win. I'm talking about just in general. I'm going to tell you this. It all depends what you do in life. For several years, my wife was the mayor of where we live. And if you're in politics, and if you work, or else if you work for particular kinds of businesses, you better pay your taxes. And of course, to do that, you need to keep a journal, because no one's going to hand you a W-2G if you win $300, $25, $85. But when you keep a journal, and it's a journal that covers every visit you make to any casino, you can track your wins and losses, because this is so important. You can subtract your losses from your wins, and that makes a big difference, of course, because in all honesty, more people lose than win as they play slot machines in casinos. So if you're extremely honest and you're going to pay your taxes, keep a journal and just put down the date, the location, where, you know, what casino it was, your losses, or hopefully your wins that day. And the IRS will accept a daily journal like that. Now, if you try to do it after the fact on a computer, they may not. And that's why a handwritten journal is better. It won't help you, but I'd like to put a picture of my leather-bound journal, because I also take some notes on how I played, what my strategy was, etc., in craps. And, of course, that helps me when it comes to writing, speaking, or doing the podcast. I hope that you're enjoying. But a W2G form will come out when you win $1,200 or more on a slot machine. So, obviously, at the Meadows, the $34,000 winner didn't get out of there without a W2G, and I bet you she was forced to have money withheld. All right, thank you for listening. We're just two podcasts away from our 100th podcast. Today is podcast episode 98. We're pretty excited thinking about that. If you'd like to give us a call, we certainly would appreciate it. And whatever, you know, if you listen to a few of the podcasts or all the podcasts or any comments on the podcast, our answering service 24/7 is 1-724-519-4556. That's 1-724-519-4556. You can always follow us on Facebook. Our Facebook group is simply called Casinos USA. And if you're in a mood, check out our website. We have several pages, a variety of information, www.casinosusa.bet. So here we are at the conclusion of another podcast. And Casinos USA is a special place where every day is Saturday. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again in a couple weeks. So long.